On this episode of Death Becomes Him, I sit down once again with my sisters. Earlier in the year, we got together to talk about our mom's passing, the shock and the immediate aftermath. At the time, I wanted to understand whether I'd ever feel like me again and whether my sisters were experiencing the same sense of something missing. We talked, we laughed, we cried, and really we walked away from that conversation understanding each other's grief a little bit better. I wanted to revisit this conversation now on my mom's birthday, a few months and one pandemic later. I want to know if my sisters feel like their grief has changed, how they managed to overcome the shock, and how they feel now. We are missing my sister Aoife, who can't make it due to work, but we do have my sister Tara and my sister Valerie, who couldn't make it the last time. And also my niece Chloe is here, but Chloe's almost like our sister. So when I say sisters, I also say that Chloe's here. So let's go around and we'll get everyone to introduce themselves. Let's go in order. So Michelle, you be next.
Hello, Brian. This is your favorite sister, Michelle.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi.
So today, a reason I want to kind of get us all together again was because today, I don't want to say would have been, today is Mam's birthday. Because it's so weird, because when I go to put stuff up on social media or talk about it, I go, oh, Mam would have been 64 today. Mam is 64 today.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are going into our third Christmas without her. And then it'll be her third anniversary on February 21st. So who else can agree with me when I just said their mom would have been 64? Or Tara, would you say no, mom is 64?
Yeah, I suppose in a way you think you kind of have to remind yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think to say is,
yeah,
it's easier on yourself and it's nicer.
Who can believe that it's the third Christmas already? Yeah, and when we all spoke, it would have been on the first series of the podcast. And I've done a second series since that. And now we're doing this episode. Michelle, at the start of it, you know, when you were making those phone calls to me in LA and you guys were dealing with everything, you know, Tara had found mom and then you go to a year, to a 2 year, and now you go to your, coming up to your third year. How do you find the grief? Do you find there's stages of it?
I think over the years for myself, I sometimes find it harder. I always find the winter months and the dark evenings harder than the summer's evenings. I think it's more so because mom's birthday comes in winter time, and then Christmas being winter as well. And, you know, mom loved Christmas, you know, and her birthday was kind of always the start of Christmas at home. So look, I think it's seasonal, but I don't think it ever gets easier. I think we just learn to cope with it better, you know, and I know from you guys who is comfortable talking about mammy and who isn't. And I could see we're all at different stages of grief. I know I like to talk about mam. I think Tracy, you like to talk about mam.
Who doesn't then?
No, but I think the rest of you struggle a little bit to talk about mam.
Yeah, I never talk about her. I dedicated a feckin' podcast to her.
In that, I think it's just a case of I feel better when I speak about mam. But I think for some of you guys, it's if I don't speak about it, maybe it doesn't hurt.
Tara, I wanted to get you on the first time we'd done this for the first series. And then obviously we couldn't because you were working. And also for everyone that doesn't know, Tara is Harvey's mom. And we were all
everyone knows obsessed. Harvey.
Yeah, everyone's obsessed with Harvey. I'm out shopping with Harvey and Arthur and people are like, oh my God, it's Harvey. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so weird because he's just a child. But it's just so funny because he's always on my Instagram. So Tara, if you can take us back to the 21st of February 2018 for you and how it all happened.
Yeah, like... Sorry.
No, let's take your time.
Yeah, like there's days, I suppose, where you think back and you think, is it real?
Yeah.
Was it real?
Mm-hmm.
But part of me if I had known it was anyone else that found her, I would have been devastated. I'd nearly be disgusted.
You said that yourself, that you liked that it was you and John.
I feel honoured that
your fiancé, the founder,
we got to do that. I suppose now I look back and I think, God, could things have been different? Or, yeah, you just think back and 101 things that go through your head. But yeah, I feel honoured that I got the opportunity to do that and spend that time. Or yeah, but look, it just doesn't make it any easier.
You kind of thought Mammy had either gone to work and that she, you know, you were supposed to.
Yeah.
And you're on the phone to Michelle. Michelle had rang you.
I was on the phone to Michelle. And usually Michelle would have spoke to Mammy that morning. But I was probably second best then. Mam didn't answer. And I kind of looked at the clock and I thought, God, she slept it in. And Mammy had this sense of pride when it came to sleep. And it was like, you don't sleep past 7 o'clock. Or if you fell asleep watching the soaps, it was the worst thing ever. Yeah. I was delighted that she'd been sleeping. I said I'd leave her for another while. And I knew she was due to go to work.
It's your fault then, you should have
woke
her.
So I just thought, this is great. So I kind of went in to the sitting room, was chatting to Michelle on the phone. I then went in the sitting room, opened windows, pulled curtains, and I picked up the few bits that she had left there from the night before. And for some reason, I just got this thing of don't put them away or don't, you know, I just kept them little things like slippers or... And I thought, right, okay, you know, go call her because she'd be like a lunatic if I had left her any longer.
She would have blamed you for letting her sleep. 100%. She would have.
Yeah. If she had been late, it would have been my fault. I suppose then I just went in and found her. Mm. And for a few minutes, unknowns to myself, I kept calling her, even though deep down I knew that she was dead and always was dead. But yeah, I think then it just kind of clicked at me. God, you have to try and do something. I went for John and he said, you're joking. And I just had said no. So that's when we both went up. And on the way up, I called for an ambulance.
I almost find with grief and how it is in different stages. But do you think finding mom and being involved in that shock and that trauma helps with your grief? Or do you think, in a sense, it's hindering it because you have such a visual memory of it? Because it's so dramatic.
I suppose in ways it helps for me personally. Like I said, in my eyes, she was dead and always was dead when I was with her. Mm. But still, I have this in my head that I got the last few moments with her where I could lay with her or I could do them little things. So personally, it helps for me.
Yeah.
When I think back now, God, I suppose maybe everyone would be the same, but you think, you know, I probably should have left it a little bit longer before I contacted everyone else if I had known that I was going to have their moments.
Oh, it's all coming out now.
No, it's
ding, ding, round two. Because I can imagine, you know, because everyone knows that I wasn't there. I'm not going to bore everyone with the same story again. I was in LA, but there was chaos in the house.
Yeah.
That morning.
Yeah.
And it was just people coming in. There was ambulances. There was people outside wondering what was coming in. Neighbours were being kind and considerate and coming over to see how everything was. In a way, I'm kind of glad now. And when you talk about it, you know, I'm kind of glad in a way that I wasn't there for all of that chaos and that bedlam, because I think that might hinder how I'm feeling now.
I think you're oblivious to it. You just don't see it. And then it doesn't register at the time what they're all there for. I think, I don't know, maybe everyone else would agree that you just go and it's like you're in this bubble and it just doesn't register with you that's why
shock.
Everyone is there.
The you're in shock.
You're in shock. You don't realise what's really going on.
You don't get it.
Yeah.
But even going in that morning and Mam was out on the floor, John was working on her, and thinking back now, like, she was dead lying on the floor, but I had no clue Mam was dead.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, she was taking a turn, but she was thinking now, like, she was dead.
You feel like an idiot. You go, God, why did I,
you're sitting there with the other saying, like, no, God can't do this to us. Mammy's not dead. Why would Mammy die?
Do you think, Valerie, in a case, in a situation like that it's your mind protecting yourself? That you're convincing yourself everything's okay, so you just don't like lose it.
Yeah, maybe. And you're
or is
just,
it hope?
You're maybe a combination of both, but like you're so in shock. And even that morning, I was saying to Tracy and Paula, like, no, your mammy can't be dead. Sure, it's mammy. As if like, you know, something that bad could never happen us.
It happens to everyone else, but you don't think it's ever going to happen to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we three were convinced. We kept saying that, no, it's not. She's going to wake up. Like she'd be grand. Like it's not, mammy's not going to die.
Yeah.
And she's already dead.
I kept thinking when I was driving from work, I was like, if I walk through the back door and mammy hands me a cup of tea after I drive in erratically for half an hour and she hands me a cup of tea, I'm actually going to scald her with it. Yeah. So in my head, I was a bit like, this ain't happened. I'm rushing home for nothing.
I think you called me at least 10 times.
I think you rang everybody.
Yeah. And I kept saying, like, there's nothing more I can tell you, you know.
At least she was calling you. Because no one was calling
me. Excuse me, who called you repeatedly?
Yes, but like it was, I remember I'd done a podcast with Georgie Crawford called The Good Glow. And it was almost like chatting with her. When I listened to the episode, I actually got so upset because I was reliving it. And also stuff that I didn't realize before. And it, also the order I called people. I'm not sure I'll ever get that right because I was in such shock when you're dialing numbers. Yeah. But I remember constantly ringing and no one picking up. And at that point I was going, but why isn't anyone picking up? But you're all dealing with your own.
We were all in
the shock.
Throes of it. Like not knowing, up in the room, the ambulance guys would tell us to go. Then one kept bringing us into the sitting room to talk to us. And then they were like, you can go up and say goodbye when they cease resuscitation. They let us go up like to be with her. But like, I wasn't even thinking about you and Aoife. No, at that time when it's going on.
You're selfish, you're thinking about yourself.
But when you're in it, you're just like, I don't even know where my phone is. I don't even know who I was talking to or what I was saying. And
Chloe, when did you find out and like who told you? Because you weren't involved, just like me, in the chaos at home.
Well, no, I was running late for school that morning.
Surprise.
And I remember you got a phone call and I just remember you and Daddy running out the door and you saying, she's dead. They think she's dead. And I remember thinking like, what is going on at all?
Just the shock of it.
So I brought the kids over to our neighbor to go to school. And I remember hearing the ambulance driving while I was dropping them down. So I knew that it was really serious. And then I remember waiting. And I can't remember if Daddy said it on the phone. Or if it was when he got home. Like, it's just a blur after that.
And there was neighbours and the family and that coming into the yard, like, that morning to see what was wrong.
See, I would have found that so annoying. I know they're being nice, but I would have been a bit like, you need to go away.
They were asking what was wrong, but I didn't want to tell them because in case mammy wasn't dead and you'd be so silly.
Well, I think we were afraid to say the words as well. Yeah. And I think that's partially Brian.
You don't want to believe it.
I think the lads were saying, Brian's ringing phones. Can somebody talk to him? And we're like, I can't talk to him. I can't. And I think
David told you, did he?
It was, well, you kind of said to David, him, like, basically. Him, and he was like, you need to speak to one of the girls. And I was like, no, I said, just tell me. And he was like, yeah. And he's like, sorry for your loss. And I'm just like, it's almost like, you know, one of those dreams that is so real.
Yeah.
That I was expect to wake up at any point.
Yeah.
And be back in bed. Yeah. And I suppose in a way, that's the one thing that I suppose it's just anger. But at the end of the day, that was always going to happen. You know, I left home in 1998. So chances are, you know, I was going to be traveling and something was going to happen. I just didn't think I'd be in LA on my own in my friend's house looking after his dog.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But when you think back on the morning, I think for mammy, you know, how she bowed out, I suppose, in her sleep. But even that chaos, you know, mammy loved chaos, as we know, hence seven kids and all. But even that morning itself, the few hours when it all unfolded, neighbours coming in, kindly calling, people ringing, I think it very much summed mammy up and her whole open door policy, kind of check in on people and stuff. And like when we think about the people that passed through our home that morning when mammy passed away, I just think it speaks volumes for mammy. But it was just for her.
When I think back to the funeral, like I just kind of laugh because I just think it was all just so, there was so much chaos to do. Yeah. There were so many people.
But Brian, you didn't do anything.
No, I was there.
But it was a typical Irish
funeral.
And I think through the whole way when I talked about on the podcast, was struggling with that and being very, very resentful. And then we all know the year we've had in 2020, and we hear stories of people that have had funerals and no one could attend, you know, and then realizing how lucky we were that the church was filled.
Grieving so much harder. Like, Mam died of the Wednesday, she was buried of the Sunday. Yeah. I feel I needed those days. Yeah. Like, for anybody now that loses anyone, you don't have the proper funeral. If somebody dies from COVID, you don't even get to choose what they wear. Mm. Like, for me, it was a really big thing being able to pick what Mam wore.
Yeah.
You know.
You're lucky you had that.
But even having family and friends around,
it made it a really hard situation. Yeah. So much harder for people now. Like, I'm so thankful we had that.
So thankful.
A handshake, a hug, you know. It's,
but even the cousins getting together and
just everyone helping and doing everything.
I mean, if we all kind of think back at it, like, we've got such big families on both Mam's side and Dad's side, and like all our cousins, we're all super close to them still. Yeah. They all kind of swung into action, because even when I came back to the kitchen, I didn't recognize the kitchen because the couch was moved, the table was moved, the couches were taken out of the sitting room. Yeah. Like, there was so much.
It just swung into
people
action.
People just get
soon
stuck
as.
In and, you know.
Because I think it's the one thing, and it was a family member that had said it to me, and, you know, very nicely had a conversation. What was said that, you know, we couldn't believe that you had said it was like a show, and did you really mean that? Because, you know, that kind of hurts our feelings. And I said, what I meant by a show was that I felt like you had no control over it, and that everyone was doing what they wanted to do, but I wanted no part of it. But I wasn't saying it in a negative way. I was saying it because I was hurting and I just wanted it all to stop.
You maybe like, stop, I need to, this needs to register with me.
Yeah.
I need to see what's going on. And I was probably a bit like that as well. But now when I stop and think of it, I go, if them people didn't get stuck in, it would have never been done.
They were just 100%.
And then it made me realize that if it was ever, unfortunately, another family member or a friend, or I'd be that person that, you need someone to take it up a gear for you. You'd never do it.
We've talked about on the podcast before how, during such horrible moments of sadness and grief, and I'm laughing, there are moments where you are just delirious with tiredness, you're hungry. And can I also just point out is that also we didn't drink during any of this, because Mom didn't drink. I remember Dad had said there'll be no alcohol in this house. Yeah. Can you imagine if you add a layer of alcohol to that?
No.
What would have happened?
We didn't sleep. Like, not even an hour most of the time. Yeah. Barely ate. Like, you're just on
raw emotion. It was just...
If I see chicken curry again, it'll be too soon.
It's like you're drunk or something.
I didn't realise there were so many different colours of chicken curry.
Is there different colours?
There was.
There's a green curry.
There's, no, I haven't said that. There was nothing wasted either.
No, and then do you remember all the snow we got?
Yeah, the Wednesday after Mammy was buried.
The week after, a couple of days after.
That was, I won't say nice, but I think, it was nice because it kept us all
grounded. Walking to the graveyard and it's snowing.
Being so angry, like, seeing, say, on social media, like, all the people you're friends with, putting up all pictures of them all outside in the snow, and you're just so angry because that's not fair.
Grieving.
Like, the world's still going
on. Like, I think anger is part of it, because I would remember being out and about and see people laughing or doing stuff, and I'm going, how is it fair? So how do you think you are with that anger going up to the third anniversary? Does it get easier?
I'm not so much angry. But this year, I think I'm going backwards. I'm finding this year very hard compared to last year.
Yeah, but you know what the funny thing is? People always think like the second year is the hardest.
No,
I'm like, this year was harder than last year.
Yes, I think so too.
And then I stop and think, God, what am I going to be like in 10 years' time?
Yeah, I know.
I wonder why they say, because this is the first year, you're probably still in shock.
Yeah, the memories.
Yeah, and then the second year, it probably settles in that the person's still not here.
I'd say, I just don't think it would ever feel... Okay, yeah. I think we'll always feel like this. I find you just learn to live with it. Yeah, it still hurts the same.
You can control it a bit.
I still feel
cope a little bit
the
better,
same, but I think you're kind of I'm so used to feeling how I feel that it's just... you're never the same.
You never
again.
Felt any other way.
Something goes.
It's like what we said the last time. But like the morning Mammy died, like part of us died as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I always say that I do believe that, you know, Mam had seven... kids, is it eight grandchildren? Oh, seven grandchildren, Harvey's now eight. So I do believe that a part of us went with her.
I honestly believe that. I'm not the same since Mammy died. Like, I'm different.
You know, and I couldn't tell you what it is, but something has changed. I've often lay there sometimes and I'd say things like, you know, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, pretend she's still there.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it, for that 2 seconds, I'd be like a 3-year-old saying it, but you do, you kind of go, oh God.
It's
that's like, it's, oh my God, that's, that weight is gone.
Yeah.
It's
like, you ever, oh God, like, yeah, when you wake up in the morning, like there are some mornings that for a few seconds
you I forget.
Like literally 2 or 3 seconds and then it just hits me.
Because like, I'm obviously, Arthur and I are back living at home, and I feel like when you say you forget, and some mornings I go down almost expecting to hear singing, or if I hear Harvey laughing, I just think, oh, he's in there with Mam.
Yeah,
it's so funny. It's so strange how, but maybe I think just that's a way of you yourself protecting yourself. Because like I've said before, and I've spoken about it openly before, how people ask me about Mam and they ask me, oh, you're looking forward to Christmas, or people, and I go,
and you go along with it.
Yeah, I go along with it. And maybe that's what you're saying. Maybe it is a bit,
it's easier.
Just juvenile, or not juvenile, but maybe it's a way of,
it's easier on yourself, I think. You just kind of go, yeah, like for them 2 seconds that you for some reason or somehow you do, you pretend she's still there. It's just, everything is so much more easier.
But even like 2 weeks ago, Leah had her parent teacher meeting.
Yeah.
And I got off the phone from our teacher and I said to myself, I must ring Mam now and tell Mam how she got on.
Yeah.
And that's nearly 3 years
that's
later.
That's the things like I find really hard with the children.
Chloe, was Mam here when you made your debs?
No.
Was that the year Mam passed? Did you make your debs in 2018?
Yeah. The October after Mammy passed away.
And then you done your leaving cert last year.
2019.
Yeah. And that would have been something that Mam would have been so excited about. Yeah. And so proud of you. Yeah. So like when you're when you're doing stuff like that, does that kind of weigh on your mind, even though you are a few years younger than us? Do you think about her in moments like that?
Yeah, definitely. Like even my first day of college, my birthdays, they always get me because I remember KFM.
Oh
yes.
Like, she'd have them. I still have some on my phone. She'd be recording.
Would she do a request for you?
Birthday.
Yeah, she used to for us all. I have some on my phone for my birthday.
That's something I definitely miss.
And you'd be going into school thinking, oh no, please don't let anyone hear.
But how used to give Chloe?
Would she know the time that it was going to be on it?
Oh yeah,
she texts me or she texts us all.
And
make sure to
record it from the radio.
Yeah, the big CD player. And she, I have some on the phone.
She'd actually record it, not as a volume, but visually.
The whole video. And they go on for about 6 minutes.
So what age, so your last, what was your last birthday before Mam passed?
I think it was
16.
So Mam was here for your 16th. Did she do it for your 16th birthday?
She did it for my 16th, and I remember she entered me in a raffle as well.
Oh, you won the raffle!
What? Oh, hang on, I didn't even know this.
I won that raffle as well. Both of us won that raffle.
For the pharmacy, your name goes into a raffle.
It's in Newbridge. Chloe won a voucher, and
I
won a hamper.
Chloe was born in 2001, the year that I won Big Brother, and Mam was so excited to be a gran. And Mam would have been a really young gran.
She was 44. Thank you.
Mam was
for
only
letting
40.
Me do that.
Mam was only 44 when Chloe was born.
Yep.
That's nearly my age. That's how old.
And no
I
grandkids,
am.
Brian.
And like Mam, like Chloe was almost spoiled so much.
The golden
Mam.
Child by Mam.
The goal, because you, Tracy, went back to school. So you went back to do your leaving cert, and then Mam would have been looking after Chloe.
Yep.
So I remember I used to always joke, and I used to say to Chloe, or say to Tracy to wind her up, well, you know, she called Mammy first. Because I think I was at home at one point, and because we called Mammy, Chloe was a child, that she looked at Mammy and called Mammy.
So who really is Chloe's mother?
So
that's for the next
podcast,
Brian.
That's for the next podcast. Like Chloe, I think out of all the grandkids and all our nieces and nephews, you had a very special relationship with Mam, because you lived with her until you were 5 years of age.
Five,
so
yeah.
She was almost like, she was your gran, but also like a second mom to you.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely. Mm. Like even after we moved out and like up until she died, she'd do her grocery shopping. She'd always send me up a bag of like all my favorite stuff. She'd always make sure to take my uniform at the end of every week.
Do the hem and your skirt.
Yeah, and I'd always
get
money back into my skirt.
Happy about,
don't believe
it. Her skirt was only supposed to be dry clean, so Mammy used to get them dry clean, but then start just washing it. Oh. And when it would come back and she'd have to stitch it or fix the zip, there was always money in the pocket.
And Chloe, if I know you, you've been saving those €5. Yeah. So you have a couple of grand in your bank account.
Yeah, she has, yeah.
Do you think all of us collectively have dealt with it differently? And I hope everyone's honest. And do we look... because we are close. Now, honestly, people, I don't think I've ever had an argument with any of you. Like, a proper argument.
Yeah.
We've never fallen out.
No, I don't think any of us have.
Do you think some of us, in our own opinions, have dealt with it really well? And do you think some people, do you think, well, they've not dealt with it at all, and or they've dealt with it wrong? I don't know why you're looking at me,
but
Tara.
I don't think there's a right way
or a wrong way.
No. Well, I think there's a really, really wrong way to deal with grief. Well, you know, extreme.
Yeah. None of us have gone off the rails or anything like that, thank God.
Paula, you drink whiskey on your cornflakes.
But no, I think we're all dealing with it
as best we know how.
Exactly.
There is no right or wrong way to grief.
Like.
Yeah. Like, grief is just a process. And you can pause it and deny it and not deal with it.
Like you did, Brian, for the first 2 years.
But it doesn't go away. You eventually have to do it. So it's when you're ready to nearly embrace it. But you're right. There's no right or wrong. You know, losing Mam has affected me differently than has Valerie, Tracy, Paul. Like, I think we've all dealt with it differently. There's no rights or wrongs. Maybe some of us are further into that grieving process than others. But... you know, I think there's no right or wrong. You know, we all do it.
And I think, Paula, for you, because we lost Mam in 2018. And then your husband, Michael, he lost his dad in 2017.
14 weeks before Mam, yes.
Yeah, John died. And John had cancer.
He had cancer for 7 years, yes.
Yeah, and when all that was happening with John and with Mam, we would never have thought that weeks later, you would never have thought that that would have happened to Mam. And John actually had a very long illness.
He had a very long illness, yes. A few days after Leah was born, he was diagnosed with cancer. So for them 7 years, like, Leah will always only remember her granddad as being sick.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I used to always tell her, you only die if you're old or if you're sick.
Right.
And Mam was neither of them. Yes. So that was a big...
That's your fault then.
Yeah, probably.
Bad parenting. Thank you, Tara.
So that was hard.
So how then do you flip the switch on that? Because Leah is obviously so young. How then do you tell her, well, you know, Nanny wasn't old or she wasn't sick? Then how do you tell her?
It was very hard.
Right.
Very hard trying to explain that that doesn't happen.
And can I also point out, because I'm going to be talking to the girls after this, the girls actually don't know. Don't know why I'm whispering. The girls don't know the full extent of actually what happened. They actually believe Mam passed in hospital.
No, Sophie knows the truth.
Sophie knows the truth. Yeah, does Leah know the truth?
No, she doesn't.
Does Sive know the truth?
No.
And Sophie and Reen know the truth.
So tell me why then, Valerie, Sive doesn't know?
Because at the start, when Mam died, we just said she died in hospital.
It was easier.
And I suppose Sive just believed that. She'd no reason to doubt it. And it's just never come up again.
Right.
I feel now I could tell her.
Yeah.
But I don't see why I need to tell her now.
She wants to ask.
I think deep down.
They know.
You and I actually were in Mam's room together, and I can't tell you the last time.
Of course.
Yeah, and you and I went, we're doing something in the wardrobe. Well, you were getting something done with your room when you're moving stuff in and out.
Yes.
And you and I looked at the wardrobe and we looked at Mam's clothes and go, remember when she wore this?
Yeah.
And it was the first time I'd cried about Mam in a while. And then you had told me you were getting your room done recently. And didn't you say you brought me up and you were like, I can smell her. I can smell her. And I'm like, Tara, who can you smell?
In my room, we had taken the old wardrobe out.
Yes.
And when it came out, I went and got her. I was like, I can smell her as plain as ever. I can smell her.
She's probably just around. Yes.
Was she hiding in the wardrobe?
Well, it's gone. I hope not. But yeah, I could just, I don't know, maybe that was in my head, but I was convinced I could smell her.
I think it was the paint fumes.
Probably.
When you miss.
And then Paula, for you having, you know, lost John the year before.
Yeah.
And then in...
Only 14 weeks.
Yeah. So you're obviously, you're not even over anything or dealing with the first loss.
No.
Then when you are hit with the second one.
Yeah, it was very hard because people think
because me and my husband, Michael, were going through the same thing, that that can be easy, that we're all in the one direction, but it's not at all.
You're in the sense of that you both deal with grief differently.
Yes,
and you
exactly.
both have different relationships with
and you have a daughter to think of when you're both
absolutely.
Grieving.
And I think both circumstances were different.
Completely different.
John had a long illness.
Mammy
subconsciously, you were preparing for it, whereas with Mammy, obviously, there was no preparation.
That's the thing. We've discussed on both seasons of the show. I've sat down with loads of people who told their stories. Some had time, some didn't have time. You've actually gone through both those situations where you almost have a decade.
No, there isn't.
There's no easy
There's
way.
No easy way. No, there isn't. Because you still never want to say goodbye.
How are we all dealing with the grave situation? I remember there was one person sitting at this table. Oh, I'd be going there every day. I'd be driving by it every day. I'm not revealing who that person is with her head in the air like this, driving the car.
I don't go that much. I don't.
How often would you say? Actually, I'll go around the table. Valerie, how often would you say you go?
I haven't been, say, for 2 weeks. And then 1 week I went twice.
Okay. Tracy?
I would go... definitely twice, if not more, some weeks.
Some weeks. Okay, twice.
No, definitely twice a week, but I could go 6 times 1 week. It depends on how I'm feeling.
Paula?
No, mine differs. Like, I couldn't be there for a month, and then last week I was there twice.
Michelle?
I'd be twice a week, like Tracy. I go up every Sunday with
flowers. Now she puts them on every week.
Get my flowers every Sunday, and I put fresh flowers on every Sunday. And then most weeks, midweek, I'll pop up, especially if there's a birthday on occasion. Yeah. Or like Tracy, if you're just having a bad day and miss her, it's like, oh, I'll take a stroll up to the graveyard.
Chloe, what about you? How often would you go?
Definitely once a week, but some weeks could be more.
And do you talk to her?
Yeah, every time I go to the grave, some days if I do happen to go twice, I will always say, Mom, why did you do it to us?
Yeah.
That's the it's first thing the I say question. To her. Yeah. And she'll always say, she'll always answer me back.
She never answers me. I'm looking at you, Valerie, and I'm actually laughing. And I said to you before we did this, I'm going to say it to you that
I'm worried.
No, remember, you know, went to the. I got you tickets for the X Factor. You had a great time.
Oh yeah.
And Sive was there, your little girl, and Sive loves performing and singing, dancing. All the kids do it, the same with Leah. Sophie, not so much. Sophie's not really interested.
Not quite sure.
And. You'd all done that. Had you come down?
That was the
Saturday. She died.
Yeah, because Sunday was. Yeah.
We went to the fashion factory.
You went to the fashion factory. You did well out of me that weekend.
For all of our tickets to the fashion factory.
That was the Saturday, like, before she died. Yeah.
And then you had come down to the house, didn't you? And you said that you were going to.
On the Tuesday night,
I'd gone down home to collect something off Tara. And when I went into the kitchen, Mam wasn't there. She was in the sitting room and she had the door closed. And I was thinking, I'll go in. And then I was like, no, because she's, I'd say, engrossed in the soaps. If I go in, we'll probably end up having a row because she'll give out to me for disturbing her.
Because she'd be cutting.
Yeah, yeah, and I just thought, no, I'll leave her. And I said to Tara, tell Mam I'll talk to her tomorrow.
Yeah. Aoife, who's not here with us, when Mam passed, Aoife was in Ireland a few days beforehand. And for work, remember she was going and she said she didn't come down. And I asked her, did she feel guilty about it? And that's something that still triggers Aoife.
Yeah.
Does it bother you, Valerie? Or you think, actually, no, in the greater scheme of things, that's not that.
No, right. Like initially it did. Like, because obviously the next day she was dead. And I was thinking, oh my God, like I haven't seen her since Saturday. But we had such a great night that Saturday night.
That was meant to be your last time with her.
It's such an amazing memory to have.
And even all the pictures you took of her.
No, I feel we parted. Mam left me the way it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you not think now when you look back at pictures, and maybe this isn't someone who's slightly older, so I'll ask Chloe. I look at pictures of Mam, some of them look at them and I almost feel like the moment of joy and the shine has gone off them somehow. If I look back at pictures of my wedding, that was such an amazing day for me. I look back on them now with me and Mam, and it's something that I'm sad about because she's not here. Maybe that's because I'm older. So if you look back at pics, Chloe, of you and Mam, do you still remember the moment or is it tainted now that she's not here?
Well, I definitely think it makes me like appreciate the fact that I did get that time with her and she was there for a lot of things. So it's kind of comforting to me.
Have any of us learned any life lessons from Mam not being around? And have any of us changed?
I just think I, for birthdays now, no matter what the age is, not an important birthday, but you should always celebrate.
But life is precious. You learn that, like,
definitely.
And one day gone the next.
I think I'm less put up with things or situations or people that I don't make an effort like I think I have to anymore. I just think life's too short. I really just kind of suit myself and do what makes me happy. And
selfish is the term. Well,
maybe I have gone a little bit selfish, but I'm just like, I don't waste my life doing things I don't want to do or with people that I don't want to be. I just do what I want 100%. And does that make sense?
Well, I think as a family, we've probably never been as close as what we've been in recent years.
Do you think?
Just, well, except for you, Brian, but the rest of us.
I know you moved home.
I know, but
still living at home.
But I think, you know, I'm 41, you're 42, the girls are all, like, we've never been as close as what we are now since Mam passed away. And it's sad. It's not that we were never close. We probably never spent as much time with each other as we have in recent years.
You know, we've had no choice in 2020.
But, you know, I think it's just very much brought us together. But the girls are right. I think, you know, family's important. Time is precious, as Paula said. Not that every day is one big party, but you should make an effort. You know, birthdays, different occasions, small things. You know, with my kids, you know, I make the most of every occasion with them. You know, try to make more memories. I'm better with photographs now than I've ever been.
Yeah, me too.
I only realized after Mam passed away, I think there's like 2 photographs of me and Mam on our own.
So today is Mam's 64th birthday. We would have got her a cake.
Yeah,
chocolate biscuit, Polly. Yeah.
Would it have been chocolate biscuit
white
cake?
White chocolate biscuit.
Yes, I probably would have gotten her a Yankee candle. I'd done that. I would have got her that for her birthday.
No, you had.
I know.
No, you'd moved on to Pippa's candles. She loved them.
She did.
You had moved on to them.
But you remember when she burned Pippa's candle out? I got it.
She just lit it that morning.
She lit it that morning. And I'm going to tell you, she had it gone.
She did, yeah.
In like
she
a day or two. Yeah. I was like, Mam, actually, beside Mam's bed on the locker.
Pippa's candle.
And did she have money in it?
Like change and then little notes of people's numbers or things to do and stuff. No.
Yes.
She kept it.
But she could have 2 different candles, different scents burning. So you wouldn't know what the smell was.
Because Mam never burned down our home. It's actually shocking. Mam also would have been kind of annoyed, I think, if we made a fuss about her birthday. But then if we didn't make the effort, she would have been twice as annoyed.
She let on she hated it, but she absolutely loved it.
But I almost think that we probably annoyed Mom because I think we probably included her too much.
Yeah.
And made such a big deal about everything. Do you not think?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And then if you didn't mention that you were doing something or going somewhere, she'd be disgusted and she'd sulk them for a few hours. Yeah.
No matter where we all went, we'd be always make sure
there was
room for
her. You're such a part of her life.
She was everywhere with us. Well, she came everywhere with us.
Whenever
and the kids.
Any of us were leaving our homes to go somewhere, there she was always a, Mam, I'm going such a place. Do you want to come? Do you remember New Year's, her last New Year's Eve?
Oh, God, yeah.
I rang her New Year's Eve morning and said, Mam, I'm going to Newbridge with Chan and Sean into Whitewater. Do you want to come? Oh, I don't know. And what was wrong with
she
her was
sent her the picture
Tara
of her,
had it? Asked her as well, and she couldn't choose between the two of us.
So then, you're lucky I didn't ask her.
But she took a selfie then of her and Tara and
she chose you.
She says, well, I believe you typed this text. She says, I'm going with my favourite child. But we bumped into him then.
I would have ignored her.
Yeah,
we went in and had breakfast and all our last New Year's Eve and we just laughed about it. But no matter where my car was going, it was always, Mam, I'm going such a place. Do you want to come?
She was almost like another sister.
Even though she was.
Do you know, we bring her to the cinema and if there was a sex scene or a kiss scene,
50 Shades,
I'd be sitting there mortified. I think we brought her to see
Girls
Trip.
Girls Trip, that's what we brought her to see.
And you won with the grapefruit.
We were mortified.
We were supposed to go and see 50 Shades.
Mammy was going to see 50 Shades.
No, she had booked all the tickets for
her. How do we think Mam would have coped in 2020 with COVID?
I think she would have been fine because if she could see us, or at least Tara was at home.
Yeah,
but she would have been still working.
She would have worked because the home helped. Mammy would have probably been more. Like probably would have done more work trying to help all the other people.
But she would have been enjoyed that thing of, say, for me, for example, being at home with her. That it not just because it was me, but just in general, that it was like, we can't go anywhere, only do our shopping.
She used to like that.
She enjoyed the comfort.
I almost think that you're slightly delusional thinking that you were the favourite. Almost feel like you actually think it.
She was a frontline worker. I think she would have been very proud of the fact.
Oh, God. Yeah. And I'm still working. And I'm helping.
Next week, I am launching another podcast called Brian's Big Camp Christmas Chats. And it's with the fabulous Amy Huberman, episode one. And one of the reasons I wanted to do that podcast was because we all love Christmas because of Mam.
Yes.
Mam instilled so much tradition on us. Mm-hmm. And even when we... Santa, Father Christmas stopped coming to us, Mam would still put our presents in the exact same place.
It was like Santa place.
And do you remember Mam would have the tinsel around all the pictures? Oh, yeah. And remember the ones that were the gold, shine, sealant. Do you remember all the balloons? And then we'd have the little tiny, well not tiny, but it was a small artificial tree.
On the table in the porch.
In the porch. And do you remember there'd be like 9 of us trying to decorate a tree? And like you probably only fit 4 people in that room. But Mam took Christmas so seriously. People always ask me about how is your dad doing? And you should get your dad on the podcast. And I said to him today, you were there at dinner. I was like, Dad, you've got to come and do the podcast. He went, no.
End of.
But I always say Dad's doing good, and Dad's absolutely spoiled. He has all of us running around after him. He has all the kids. Like he wants for nothing.
Yeah. Look, I'm sure he has his moments.
He likes talking about her.
He does talk about her a lot.
And I like hearing the stories of if they had an argument or if they pissed each other off.
Which never happened.
No,
they would. And he would. We could be talking about something, and then all of a sudden, I remember now when me and your mother were, you know.
Yeah, it's always your mother.
And look, he has his own times, his own moments.
He said to me just recently that when it was coming up to Christmas,
he
would be getting up and going to work at 4 o'clock in the morning.
When we were younger.
We had everything.
He used to work during the day and then go back and do security in the same place at night.
And Brian, I didn't know that.
He always worked on Sunday.
Remember the morning his car wouldn't start and he was in work for 5 o'clock in Kildare.
Please don't tell me.
We'd push it.
You and Mammy pushed it about 400 metres out the road, and then the car started and he took off and didn't bring his phone.
Yeah, I remember that.
And me, you, Mammy had to walk back at 4:30 in the morning and get back into bed.
What age were we?
Two or three.
You and me older than us. We were younger. We must have been.
Sure, we went to secondary school.
No, we were
supposed to say like 10 or 11 or something.
I don't even recall. Maybe Valerie wouldn't get up to do it. I'd say if
it was me. Valerie's always been lazy.
But yeah, he jumped into the car and drove off and left us.
Was it the Blue Mazda?
Yeah, the Blue Mazda.
I'm having a PTSD, a flashback.
And he'd come home then every evening, 7, 8 o'clock, and within an hour he was gone to bed again to get up and be gone again at 4:30 the next morning.
Mam and Dad were very old school.
Yeah.
Parents.
Yeah.
You know, but I think in a sense of we get all our work ethic and our good morals from Mom and Dad, that they got off their asses. And if you want something, you got to go out and you got to work for it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
what do we think Mam would have made of Harvey?
I'm not even going to start.
She would have him spoiled rotten. But you even see him now when you go in, he'd say to me, Shishi, I'd say, what's wrong, Harry? Nanny. And is there an elf sitting over beside one of the pictures?
His pal, as we call
him. His pal. And he kept pointing like and telling me that. But even in my house, the picture, Chloe, doesn't he? He'd come in and he'd say, oh, Nanny, it's Nanny. And sometimes it frightens you when he says it because
I want him to know about Mam.
He knows already.
And then with John's Mam, it's Nana Frances.
Yeah.
And with Mammy, it's Nanny Rosie. And Nanny and Nana.
You were shopping recently, and tell us what happened.
We were shopping and there was a woman, the very same hair as Mammy, checking us out. And she had a mask on. And he turned around and said, Mammy, Nanny. And I was Nanny. And then it dawned on me that she was very like Mammy. God. And of course, the tears start flowing on me. Yeah. I said to him, oh God, help her. And I was just get me out of here. But he knows her so well.
When I ran the marathon last year.
Do you run?
I'm convinced on 3 occasions I saw Mammy in the crowd.
Yeah.
And I definitely heard her saying,
"You've been drinking.
Come on,
Shelly. You were dehydrated.
No, come on, Shelly, you can do it." Yeah, I definitely see her on occasions and I definitely hear her.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Definitely. Who? Because some of us are very pro psychic, medium, yes, all that. I'm and people I've spoken to on season one and two of the show have been very pro it. It's not something I'm... Who here has actually gone to see a psychic?
Me.
Yep.
Yeah, I have.
I did, yeah.
Valerie?
No.
Chloe?
No.
Michelle?
Yes.
Tara?
Yes.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. Would you do it?
Maybe.
Chloe?
Definitely.
Yeah. No, I think I just don't really want... I'm a bit like Mammy in that respect. Mammy was also... Not fearful is the wrong word, but Mam was always skeptical about that. Yeah. I'd rather not know just yet.
She still has an opinion. She would be like that, but then the minute you go and you get in, well, she was the first one trying to bait you up to find out what was said, and she'd want to know all about it.
I wonder, is there any difference in when we chatted earlier in the year to when we're chatting now?
It's only in the last year or two I've realised Mam used to come shopping with me one day over Christmas, but she actually went with everyone.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. Yeah. So Mam got a lot of days out shopping that I didn't realise she got. But I think the grief is still there, the sense of loss is still there, you know, the sadness on her birthday that she's not with us again. So I think compared to our last conversation, I think it's still as raw as it was then.
I think, to be really honest, that for me, I've nearly accepted that I would grieve for her for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Easily.
And I can say that with confidence, and I feel more confident now when I talk about her. And if I was to get upset somewhere, I get upset.
Yeah, totally.
But Mam always said to me, and it was actually her last Christmas, we were speaking about her parents, and I said, like, God, Mam, like, losing a parent has to be the hardest thing ever. And she said, definitely one of the hardest things. But she said, when you have your own family someday, Tara, and we're not around, you just keep going and you do it for them. So I think for me, part of it always kept going for us. And she would, if she was here, stupidly, she would, if I could hear her, she'd tell me.
Yeah.
Keep on going and you feel what you feel.
It's almost like the kids, and I always keep saying distraction, but it's a distraction.
It is a distraction.
In a positive way. I suppose now we'd probably all like to wish Mam happy birthday.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sure she can hear us. And she's saying, thank you, my favourite child, Brian. Thank you, Mom. You can hear me. Time will tell, ladies. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Look forward to speaking to you at the end of season four of Death Becomes Him. Now, there are a few small voices we didn't hear from last season. The apples of my mother's eye, her grandkids.
Hi. My name is Reen Mar.
What age are you, Reen?
I'm 7.
Hi, I'm Leah and I'm 9 years old.
Hi, I'm Saiv and I'm 9.
Hi, I'm Sophie and I'm 9 years old.
Yay. And we are here and we're going to talk about the best nanny in the whole entire world. And the best nanny in the whole entire world is who?
Nanny Rosie.
Yes. So today is Nanny's birthday. Nanny is 64. Would you have done a birthday card in school? Would you have bought her a birthday card? Would you have made a birthday card?
I would have made a birthday card.
When I'm gonna, you just gave me the idea, so when I get home I'm gonna make a card and I'm gonna ask Mammy to go put it on her grave.
That's a really good idea. Yes. Reen. And we're coming up to Christmas and everyone knows that Nanny Rosie absolutely loved Christmas.
Yes,
didn't she?
And she always used to decorate the Christmas tree really nice.
She did decorate the Christmas tree very nice. Okay, I'm going to ask you all this. And we're going to start with the eldest, and that is Leah. And we're going to work our way around the table. And I'm going to ask all of you, why was Nana Rosie Leah the best nanny in the world?
I think she's the best nanny in the world because she was funny and kind.
Yes, and she probably let you eat lots of sweets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saif?
I thought she was really nice, and like Leah said, if our mommy said no, we couldn't have it, she'd just get it for us immediately.
So she spoiled you?
Yes.
Yes. Sophie?
She's just the best nanny in the world, and she was really funny, and she always used to get us loads of sweets. And
yeah. I see there's something, nanny used to give you sweets all the time. Yeah. That's why all of you have really bad teeth. Reen, why was Nana Rosie the best nanny in the whole entire world ever? Take your time. It's going to be a good answer. He's thinking about it. And it's Christmas Day. Because she just was. She just was the best nanny in the world.
She used to come and collect me
from
play school. And she used to bring me to the shop and get these little bag of ice creams. One day we're like...
Now, who remembers back to 2018? And it was the 21st of February. And that's the day that... What happened that day, Sophie?
Nanny died.
Yes, Nanny went to...
Heaven.
Now, who can tell me who actually told you that Nanny went to heaven? Who told you? Who told you, Reen?
So, on that day, Carl had to drop us to play school. And then when we came home, Mammy, she came and... she told us I have to tell you something. Mm. And then she told us that Nanny died. And then we cried into her.
Yeah. Who told you, Leah?
So I came home from my friend's house. And then my daddy was sitting there. And then my mammy came and they told me she died.
Because you had also lost your granddad, John.
Yeah.
Just before Christmas. So you were already sad from losing your granddad, John.
Yes.
Yeah. And Sophie, you and Reen are brother and sister.
Yeah.
So is Reen telling us the truth with who told him?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Who told you, Sive?
I was at my friend's house like Leah and my mammy was sad. So my daddy told me and I was sad then.
Yeah. Where do we think Nana Rosie is and what's she doing?
Oh, I know.
Oh, go on, Sophie.
Oh, I know. She's probably up in heaven drinking loads of tea.
I think drinking loads of tea. What else are you doing, Reen?
When I imagine Nanny in heaven drinking tea, I imagine her sitting outside on a table and the place where you get tea is just a massive teacup.
Oh,
and
wow.
Do you know the way where you pour in the tea? It's like just a big
flow of it. Yeah. Yes.
That angels can fly, so they just fly into it and then they just fall into this portal and then it's a tea world.
So Nanny is in a teacup in tea world.
Yeah.
Wow, that's okay.
Yeah. Leah? Oh, and the rivers are full of tea. That's where they get their tea.
What are you eating? I think all those cool pops Nana Rosie got you, there was way too many colours. There was blue, green, red. They were gone to his head. Leah, where is Nana Rosie and what's she doing?
I think she's obviously up in heaven looking at Teddy having some tea.
I think the exact same as Leah, and I forget what show she used to look at.
She looked at Emmerdale, Coronation Street.
Yeah, one of them.
Fair City.
Yeah.
She used to watch Judge Judy. She loved that.
Do we all miss Nana Rosie? And if we miss her, do we get sad and do we tell people if we're feeling sad?
Yeah.
When did you last miss Nana Rosie, Sive?
Well, it's kind of like, I miss her every day when I go down to her house. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, her house. But mostly the times when I miss her is probably her birthday and Christmas and our birthdays and stuff like that.
And also, you probably miss getting the present from her, don't you? Did she spoil all of you?
Yes.
Who thinks they were Nanny's favourite?
Me.
Do you think you were, no. Sophie?
She didn't have a favourite.
Oh, Sophie. Oh. Delusional. Well, look, guys, I'm going to let you in a little secret here and don't say this to anyone. You all know that I was obviously Mammy's favourite child.
No.
Yes. And I was the only boy.
Brian, everyone is that Mammy's favourite child.
No. Delusional. When it was Nanny's funeral, what were you thinking, Leah?
Very sad. And, yeah.
Rian?
Each one of us brought up something. I brought up Crocs.
Oh, Nanny used to wear Crocs, yes. I remember the funeral was so big. There were so many people.
Yeah, everyone in the world.
I think everyone wanted to come and say, yes.
I remember when we were on the way, like, there's like that big long car that brings them up.
Yes, the hearse.
100 people following.
I think there was more than 100 people.
There
was definitely a few hundred people.
And people that she worked with, we saw like them wearing their uniforms. And there's people around the town too.
If I was to ask you all, what do you miss most about Nana Rosie? And whoever has the answer first can go first. Oh. What do we miss most about Nana Rosie?
I know.
Let Sive go first.
I miss everything about her, but I normally just miss when, like, we'd laugh and she was very funny, like, very funny. And, yeah, just, it was, yeah, that's, yeah.
Sophie?
I missed everything, but she was so funny and so kind, and I loved the dinner she got. Yes.
She was a very good cook.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I could never lose weight. It's true. Rian, what about you?
Well, I miss her really so much. And I feel really bad for my mammy and all her kids.
Why do you feel bad for your mammy?
Because it was her mammy.
And is your mammy sad?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Leah? What do you miss most? Everything. About mammy?
Everything.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that your mammy, Sive is Valerie, do you feel bad that your mammy's sad because she's no mammy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and does she get upset?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't really see her getting upset though, but I know she definitely does.
What about your mammy, Paula Leah?
Definitely.
Does she get upset?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sophie and me and your mammy is Tracy. Does she get upset,
yes,
Sophie?
Yes, she does. Yeah. And I couldn't imagine my life without my mammy.
I know. Does that make you scared?
Yeah. Very.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the sad thing about life is that sometimes bad things can happen.
Yes.
And when bad things happen, you have to reach out to your family, and your family look after you, and they hug you, and they tell you they love you, and they tell you everything is going to be okay. And all of you know that everything is going to be okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And that sometimes it's okay to cry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's okay to miss the person who's not here.
Yeah.
Because I miss my mammy every single day.
Every second.
Every second.
Yeah.
And I'm sad. I used to be sad every day.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not sad every day.
Mm-hmm. Same with me.
But I still miss her.
So do I.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly the first maybe couple of weeks that you're mom. Yeah. My life has definitely changed.
When I heard that it happened, I just felt so shocked.
Yeah. If we were to see Nana Rosie right now, what is the first thing we'd say to her?
Oh, I know.
Oh, you know everything, Rian.
If she just came right now, I'd drop the microphone and say, "You're finally back."
Yes, but drop that microphone carefully because it's expensive. What would you say, Leah?
I'd just put the microphone down and run and give her a hug.
Put it down gently.
Yes.
What about you, Sive?
I'd just run and give her a hug and I'm like, "I miss you. Where did you go?"
Yeah, where did you go, Nana Rosie? What about you, Sophie?
I would just forget about everything and just go straight up to her. And I'm like, you're finally back now. Where did you go?
And who knows what the podcast is actually about?
I think I do.
Of course you do.
I know.
Let's ask someone else.
It's of course about Nanny.
Yeah, but it's also about other people. Sive?
I think it's like if people lose someone.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Obviously the first one was when you were with our mummies and your sisters. And it's basically about when people lose someone.
Anyone?
Their daddy or their brother and sister, or if it was their baby or their husband or wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that it's okay to be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, do you know if someone tells you a joke or if someone tickles you, what do you do? You laugh.
Yeah.
And don't you feel better after you laugh?
Yeah.
And sometimes I say, if you want to cry, if you're feeling sad,
yeah,
your best.
Just cry.
To cry because you're going to feel better.
Yeah.
Afterwards. So should we all wish Nana Rosie happy birthday?
Yeah.
And we'll say happy birthday, Nana Rosie, and count it three, okay? And will I say it in Irish or in English?
English.
No, I mean 1, 2, 3 in English or Irish. I can't say happy birthday in Irish. I wouldn't know what to say.
What is
happy birthday in Irish?
Labreha.
Wait, Labreha. That sounds Italiano. So I know 1, 2, 3 is a hein, a do, a three. And then Lana Bratna is? Happy birthday.
I don't know.
I don't know.
How do we just say
it? Do it in English. Let's just say it in English. Yeah. After three. Okay. So 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday, Nana Rosie.
Hooray.
I've said many times throughout this podcast that grief is personal. There are no guaranteed milestones. There are no definite stages. It's messy, it's complicated, and it's completely unpredictable. Though my sisters and I are each mourning for our mom, we're missing different experiences and different rituals. Just as we find solace in certain memories, there are other things that trigger us individually. The one thing that is clear is that we are better when we navigate these feelings together. Sharing the good moments and remembering the laughs brings a comfort to all of us. But more than that, creating the opportunity and space to really ask how we are, to really interrogate our feelings, is so healing. As the years pass, I know we'll continue to sit down together and share and reshare our favourite stories until they become so familiar they're our own. We'll never tire of talking about our lovely mom. Thank you so much to everyone who listened to this season of Death Becomes Him. I hope it has brought you some solace. I have been so grateful for every message and note of support. We will be back for season 3 in 2021. Until then, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.